Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to talk about the protests, all the other crazy stuff in the news and more. Plus, if you got something you want to talk about, we're going to open up the phone lines here for you in just a few minutes. But first, I mentioned this Friday morning. I said, hey, I think on Monday we're going to have to talk about these lake levels on Flathead Lake. It was early last week or mid last week. I started reaching out to Congressman Zinke's office. And then I reached out to the Flathead County Commissioners to say, hey, does anybody want to join me on the radio to talk about the Flathead Lake levels? Because we were already starting to see, well, we saw some of the warning signs, of course, earlier this spring. You know, snowpack wasn't where it should be. Northwest Montana wasn't getting the moisture that South Central Montana was getting and parts of Southwest Montana were getting. You know, the Beartooth got a lot of snow, and then that whole Beartooth front in the Billings area got some good moisture in the form of rainfall after all the snowfall in the spring. But northeast Montana, very dry. I saw the conditions firsthand here just a couple of weeks ago. And then northwest Montana is also experiencing some drier conditions. So that has folks very much on edge about what the lake levels are going to look like on Flathead Lake once again. Great to have Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell kick off the show for us here this morning. Commissioner, I know we've got, it sounds like, some good news to share. I was able to catch up with Congressman Ryan Zinke, and he helped get an agreement out of the Interior Secretary's office.
Hey, Aaron, it was, had great information. It got put together by Congressman Zinke, and he's working with Energy Keepers, who is the for-profit company of the Salish Kootenai at the south end of the lake that runs the dam. We went from an outflow of 1,250 to we are headed for 750, which is a great decrease in the amount of water they're letting out of the dam. Basically, it's a big bathtub, and they are putting a small stopper in the bottom of the bathtub, and so we're going to see those lake levels starting to increase. And right now, we are at 98.47 right now, but by Thursday, it will be down to 7,500. So that's exciting news, and it means that the lake will get down to maybe a foot and a half below full pool by midsummer, maybe the middle of August. And so we'll still be able to use all of the docks on the lake and the marinas, everything that the boats need to be safe out there.
Yeah, that's great news, because I know just water levels are a concern really across the northwestern part of the state right now, given, you know, the moisture situation that I referenced earlier. So definitely want to talk about that as well as we chat here with Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell. But yeah, Congressman Ryan Zinke said this: thanks to an agreement between Interior Secretary Burgum and the CSKT, the dam will reduce flows by 45% and keep the lake within 12 inches of full pool, preventing the catastrophic prediction of 3 feet below full pool. He says, I appreciate the tribe and the administration hearing our concerns. More to follow on that topic right after this. Hold your phone calls for today. You're listening to a best of Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Some sunshine early on today, then some scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high nearing 87. Scattered showers early tonight, then partly cloudy with a low around 58. Showers and thunderstorms are likely into Saturday. Some storms may be severe with a high nearing 82. Then showers and thunderstorms continue into Saturday night with a low around 55. Sunshine with a high of 84 into Sunday, then clear skies Sunday night with a low around 58. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Kara Foster.
This is House Call for Health. It's almost the 4th of July, and for many, that means doing some grilling. The National Fire Protection Association says between 2019 and 2023, gas grills caused around 9,300 fires per year, both structure and outdoor fires. And the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says an average of nearly 22,000 patients went to emergency rooms with grill-related injuries from 2020 to 2024. The association has some tips and guidelines to make sure your cooking experience is a fire-safe one. First, check propane tanks for leaks. Make sure the grill is clean and that grease and fat buildup are removed from the grill and catch trays below. Your grill should be away from the home, deck railings, or away from overhanging branches. If it's a gas grill, make sure to open the lid before lighting it. And never leave your grill unattended when in use. Also, keep children and pets a few feet away. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell. So before we talk more about the news that just came out, I think this was on Friday, we got the news out of Congressman Ryan Zinke's office that he was able to help get this agreement signed off on by the Secretary of the Interior to boost the lake levels of Flathead Lake. A little more background here. So we've had dry years in the Flathead in the past. We've had drought years in the past. But that's the beauty of these hydropower dams with Hungry Horse and with the downstream dams, is that we can store water and we can control the water. We can manage the resource. That's why these dams were put into place in the first place, right? And so... But when we had low lake levels a couple years ago and it was getting dangerously close to exposing rocks and not able to use docks and wiping out the tourism industry, there were a lot of Democrats that wanted to sit back and do nothing and just blame it all on climate change.
That's exactly right. And the climate does change. Over years, you know, being in Montana, the climate changes up, down, 35 below to 100 degrees. And all those things impact our water levels. And we have, right now, we have several organizations that are involved in this, agencies, organizations, the CSKT, which is private, the south end of the lake. They are actually under the oversight of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But the energy companies who runs the dam, they are a for-profit organization for a company actually owned by the tribe, and by being for profit, that means that every watt of power that they sell is profit that goes into the coffers of the tribe. And so it's important to remember that their outlook on how they run that dam is not based necessarily on the safety of recreation on the lake. It is based on how much energy they are producing. So they don't take it lightly when the Bureau of Indian Affairs or the Department of Interior tells them that they have to reduce the amount of power that they're producing by putting a stopper in the bottom of the dam. And that's so important to remember that their outlook is different than the people that come to the Flathead to recreate on the lake.
Or the farmers that irrigate with the water from the lake as well.
That's right. And the other thing that's really important to remember is that the water levels coming out of the dam flow into the Columbia River, and the voice of the tribe at the lower end of the Columbia River is really loud. And they talk about wanting the water because they also make money by generating power that's coming down the river. And so... It's very complicated, when the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Reclamation, which is actually who runs Hungry Horse Dam, and that water flows into Platted Lake, those all have to coordinate if we're going to maintain full pool or close to full pool on the reservoir or the lake behind the dam.
Well, and that's why, you know, big picture, it's great that we got this agreement for right now to help with the lake levels this summer. But long term, something's got to be fixed here, it sounds like, because the demand for electricity and the demand for power is skyrocketing. I mean, we're set to lose 19 gigawatts, I think it is, of electricity capacity in this country over the next several years. Meanwhile, CEI reported that we're going to be needing an additional 30 plus gigawatts, and so the demand for power and the price of power is only going to keep going up, and that's why, you know, when we talk about Colstrip and keeping Colstrip online and maybe reopening Colstrip 1 and 2 in southeastern Montana, that is very pertinent to folks in northwest Montana, because you take electricity offline, there's going to be more pressure to steal your water in the spring or in the summer from places like Flathead Lake.
That's right. And they, of course, on the Democrat side, they're wanting to move 4 of the hydroelectric dams on the Snake River, which decreases generation of hydroelectric generation. And then when they talk about Colstrip and reducing the amount of coal generated power, that's just a disaster waiting to happen. So we are dependent on dams like Kerr Dam. I'd like to talk about the amount of water coming into Kerr Dam. We have 4 major rivers: the Flathead, the Stillwater, the Whitefish, and the Swan River that flow into Flathead Lake. Only only the South Fork of the Flathead is controlled water coming in. So that's what's behind Hungry Horse. Everything else is free flowing and has no ability to manage that water coming into Flathead Lake. So Hungry Horse is really important, and it is managed by the Department of Bureau of Reclamation. And so coordinating between those two does not happen like it should, and that's my personal opinion. I've talked to the CEO of Energy Keepers, who runs Kerr Dam, or the dam at the end of the south end of Flathead Lake. I've talked to the managers of the water levels at Hungry Horse. There is not enough coordination, in my opinion, between the two, so that they are prepared for what needs to happen when we come into the summer.
Well, 2 years ago, I think it was back in 2023, when we had the, you know, danger close levels of the lake then, Congressman Zinke fought to get the lake refilled then. But he also talked about a bill that he had introduced. I think it was called Fill the Lake, the Fill the Lake Act, to try to, you know, permanently provide some sort of a permanent fix to this issue, too, because we're going to see this happen again during another dry year, during another drought situation. And so what's going to be done to prevent early spillage or too much during the summer? We'll start there next.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's not surprising that President Trump would go after socialist candidate Zoran Mamdani, who won the Democratic nomination for mayor in New York. Republicans want to make him the face of the Democratic Party. Trump, frankly, I've heard he's a total nut job. I think the people in New York are crazy because they go this route. But he hasn't ruled out deporting Mamdani, who's been a U.S. citizen for several years. Here's what the candidate has to say. Donald Trump said that I should be arrested, that I should be deported, that I should be denaturalized. He said those things about me as someone who stands to be the first immigrant mayor of the city and as a distraction. So he maybe is loving these attacks, can turn them to his advantage. Meanwhile, the media now saying he can't deliver on most of his promises because he needs state approval. Now they tell us. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana, because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide.
statewide, 9 to 10.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The University of Illinois surveyed Americans to see how they view the Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA, initiative. One of the interesting results from the University of Illinois survey shows support among both conservatives and liberals, says Maria Kalazadunokis.
We also found sort of some interesting perspectives that very conservative and conservatives were more likely to support MAHA, but also people who were very liberal had higher rates of supporting MAHA. I was expecting to see what I've heard echoed in news stories lately, which is that MAHA supporters broadly think of the food system as being unsafe or broadly untrusting of food system players. Basically, what we found is that while they broadly are not concerned about safety of the food system, or while they're broadly not untrusting of all food system players, they have specific concerns.
These results appear to be in line with the central messaging from the MAHA Commission. Those criticisms focused on ultra-processed foods, food additives, pesticides, and the size and influence of some food firms. If you're interested in reading more of these findings, well, they're posted on the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website. You can read all about it and how both conservatives and liberals are showing support for the MAHA initiative. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it's not just Flathead Lake that we got to talk about here as well. We're going to talk about Bitterroot Lake. I know I've had some listeners say, hey, bring up Bitterroot Lake as well. And I don't, you know, it's Commissioner Brodell, you probably know where I'm coming from on this one. Part of me doesn't want to keep talking about all these beautiful lakes here in Montana because the word's already gotten out. And so it's sometimes when we tell people about some of these beautiful lakes across Montana, everybody knows Flathead, but they may not know some of these other ones. But so that's why I'm a little hesitant to talk about some of these other great lakes in the areas as places start to get a little over-visited from times. But before we get to Bitterroot Lake, let's stay on Flathead Lake here for just a little bit more. So 2 years ago, Congressman Zinke also forced an agreement to refill the lake back then. You know, a lot of the Democrats just wanted to sit back. Tester didn't really do squat when he was the senator at the time. They just wanted to sit back and blame it all on climate change, even though, as you pointed out, the climates have been changing since Glacier National Park was completely covered in glaciers. And by the way, isn't this whole ecosystem a part of Glacial Lake Missoula? So all of Missoula was a lake once upon a time. So, yeah, we get it. The climate's been changing for quite some time now. But that's why we have these dams in place to manage these resources. This is kind of like a lot of the things that we're seeing with the Trump administration right now. President Trump's able to come in. His cabinet members, he's able to issue executive orders. He's able to make the right decision to fix a lot of stuff right now. But we also need to codify some of these things and put some of these fixes into law so that another administration, God forbid we get another far-left activist in there 4 years from now, they just simply undo it with the stroke of a pen. Do you think we still need to get something like Zinke's Fill the Lake Act across the finish line so that we can prevent this type of situation from happening again down the road where you know, energy production out of the dam seems to, and early spillage of water out of the dam seems to have a higher priority than the folks on the lake, the level of the lake, the farm irrigators, and others?
That's exactly right. This can't be a four-year fix. The Fill the Lake Act can't be a four-year fix. It has to be in perpetuity because those levels or the amount of snowpack we have varies every year, and so we can't just say we're gonna give it up for this year. And that's really what the focus was with Congressman Zinke and getting this back up to near full pool He did yeoman's work with staff, did yeoman's work in making this happen. I so appreciate his efforts in this. And Bitterroot Lake is very similar. And like you were saying, it's a pristine lake. It is surrounded by a lot of folks here in the Flathead that live there, either full time or in the summer. And it has been for 2 years, the gate has been left open on the top 8 feet of the lake, so that we're unable to get them out. We were able to make some repairs to one of the three ramps on the lake this year, so that people could get both in and out. But because the water is so level, water level is so low, when the ice comes in the spring and the wind comes up and starts moving that ice around, it will take out the repairs that we've done, and we'll be right back to where we are. We have to get that lake level back up to where it needs to be so that the people that live on the lake and the people that recreate on the lake can use it.
And this is the one where you're talking about Bitterroot Lake, right? Okay, yeah, so let's switch over to the Bitterroot Lake conversation here as well, which is basically due west of Kalispell. It's a smaller lake, obviously, than Flathead Lake, but yeah, a lot of people are talking about the low lake levels there. You and I were talking during the break. I was like, so if I brought my pontoon, would I not be able to get it in the water? You said a pontoon maybe, but other boats definitely not, given the lake levels right now. And now, the Flathead Lake, because you've got Hungry Horse, you can turn that tap off and on in order to refill the lake, right? Bitterroot Lake, it's naturally fed, but there's a spigot on the way out that's run by the irrigation district, right? And so, yeah, the argument there is, once again, too much water is being spilled out too early in the year, and then the lake level is too low, and then the farmers don't have the water for the irrigation during the hot summer months when they really need it.
That's exactly right. This was an irrigation project that was put in conjunction with the Bureau of Indian Affairs by the Flathead Indian Irrigation Project, the FIP, as it's called, to feed the irrigated land on the reservation. For the past 2 years, they have not been able to irrigate through the summer because they have not closed the gate and held back the water when they need to on the lake. That is the top 8 feet of the lake is a reservoir, and then the covered dam down below. For the past 2 years, that 8 feet has been gone, and Hubbard Dam has been empty, and it's just been a small stream running through the where the reservoir used to be. And this is about management of the irrigation district by the Flathead Indian Irrigation Project, because they have not regulated the gate and held the water back when they could collect it. They just let it flow through.
And when you say they, who is they?
The Flathead Irrigation Project, and that's who manages that water system that feeds all the area down around Hot Springs and which is a heavy ag area.
Yeah, that's close to my family homestead from back in the early 1900s. They're beautiful country, beautiful farm and ranch country as well, of course. Huge agriculture country. A lot of people forget about that in the western side of the state. And some of these battles we're talking about with water in the western side of the state, you know, are similar in the eastern part, Fort Peck Lake. There's always downstream interests that want to grab that water earlier in the year. And like I've said before on this show, you know, there's these far-left activists in Bozeman who say, we don't have enough water. And I'm like, no, we have enough water. We just get rid of it all too early in the year. We need to figure out better ways to hold on to that water instead of just spilling it all downstream. So that's kind of across the board, across the state. That's always part of our challenge, is an upstream state like Montana. So as I understand, you know, given the concerns over, you know, too much water being let out of the Kerr Dam, or the SKQ Dam, as they're calling it now, that too much of this is being spelled out. I know that this has folks who are critical of the CSKT Water Compact coming out and saying, hey, this is another reason why the CSKT Water Compact was so concerning to folks in northwest Montana. But whether you could ever get the CSKT Water Compact overturned or not, it seems to me that within the Water Compact agreement itself, that there are things that could be
that could be changed, things that could be done to fight to make some changes, like the Fill the Lake Act, et cetera, that could be done within even the Water Compact right now, right?
It's possible. I was in the legislature when that came through. I voted against it. I thought it was a bad deal. And we thought we had the votes, even though I believe it passed with 52 out of 100 votes. We thought because it was a treaty that we would have had to go with a two-thirds vote. And at the time, the state Supreme Court found against us. And so it passed. It's still working its way through the process at the federal level. We were able to get through Senator Daines' office. We got some changes in it that helped the flathead. It did not help across the state. But there were ways and are ways that we can work through that. But it takes a strong effort by Congress and by the Senate to make some changes there. And we have to realize it's not about getting reelected. It's about doing what's right. And that's what they have to focus on, because doing what's right means looking at every aspect of this and not just getting the votes of the Native Americans or the soft R's. It is about getting about doing what's right for everybody.
Well, the other aspect of this is there was a lot of money that came with that water compact. And as I understand it, a lot of that money was supposed to be dedicated towards upgrading the infrastructure on irrigation, like Bitterroot Lake and downstream areas. And it apparently, you were telling me that none of that money has been spent to do what it was supposed to do yet.
There was $50 million in that's already been given to the tribe to fix the irrigation system, and we're not seeing it.
Wow. So that's something, you know, looking at our congressional delegation or other state officials, hey, that's another kind of what are we doing here to make sure that this is carried out, that this happens as well.
That's exactly right. Yep. We have to, our congressional delegation, our senators have to be so engaged in this to keep this from degrading the quality of our water in Montana. You know the saying about whiskeys for drinking, waters for fighting, that didn't originate with the Water Compact. That's been in Montana since we started looking at how to use the water here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Commissioner Burdell, great to catch up with you here. Very informative. Appreciate your time.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Split Points.
I'm Evan Brown. Did you get your Colorado concealed carry permit in time? Starting today, it becomes a bit more difficult. Today's the day changes in Colorado's law go into effect, aimed at making requirements for a concealed carry permit in the state more stringent. Starting today, those wanting the permit in Colorado need to pass a live fire practical and a written competency exam, but also having a record of certain misdemeanors will bar you from being able to receive a Colorado concealed carry permit. It's caused sheriff's offices around the state to have received an increased number of permit applications through the month of June, as applicants wanted to get theirs without having to take the tests. That being said, Colorado does allow for open carry without a permit and has permit reciprocity to varying degrees with 37 other states. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is Kaden Bjornstedt, producer of Montana Talks. You're tuned in to the 4th of July Best of Montana Talks. And hey, if you're listening right now, you're either a true American patriot or just hiding out with a quiet cup of coffee before the family chaos kicks in. Normally on Fridays, you'd hear Looking at the Bright Side with Becky Hillier or Freedom Friday with George Blackard. But George took the day off to recite the Declaration of Independence to his grill. Freedom never tasted so good. Whether you're out floating the river, flipping burgers, dodging mosquitoes the size of drones, or just enjoying a cold one or two, we're glad to be riding shotgun with you today. Enjoy the rest of the show, stay safe, and we'll see you live on Monday. Happy Independence Day from all of us at Montana Talks.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I'll tell you what, great to have Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines joining us live here this morning on the show. Senator, great to have you. What a week it has been.
It has been quite a week. What a Saturday it was when those B-2s took out the nuclear capabilities there in Iran.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I know, you know, some of President Trump's critics are manning up and giving credit where credit's due and just describing what a remarkable moment in American history this truly is. But some of the fake news media out there, they just can't get themselves to even give credit. They're trying to do everything they can to undermine what a truly accomplishment this was.
Aaron, I think it's important to look at where we're at in the history with Iran. It's 45 years of regimes that consistently have been chanting death to America. They refer to Israel as little Satan, the United States as big Satan. If Americans don't understand that this is a threat to the homeland, it's to us. This is not just a threat to Israel. This is a threat to America, a regime that tried to assassinate President Trump, that's killed hundreds of U.S. troops, that is behind the terror proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis. This was a moment that President Trump rose to. He seized it. He needed to be decisive. He was, and he acted. A lot of presidents have been played like fiddles. Obama, Biden, by the Iranians. Trump saw the nonsense there and acted. And there's one thing, only one thing, the Iranians respect and understand, and that's strength. And that's what President Trump delivered.
Well, lots of big news to talk about with Senator Steve Daines here this morning. We'll take a quick break, and then, hey, what will we talk about right after the first news and weather break here this morning? One big, beautiful bill. Did you guys see the Missoula City Council came out? They voted against, for a resolution opposing the One Big Beautiful Bill. Well, that's it, if the Missoula City Council opposes it. I just thought that was hilarious. They've already raised taxes on their own working people by like 20%. Now they want to raise them even higher.
Yeah, this is just hilarious. I saw the headline from KPAX TV Tuesday night. Oh, no, no, stop the presses. The Missoula City Council is against the One Big Beautiful Bill. Senator Steve Daines, I'm sure this has you deeply reconsidering your position for tax relief and more.
You know, Aaron, I was thinking about supporting President Trump's bill, but with the Missoula Council's action, I'm just not sure. I'll tell you. I mean, nothing says we're more out of touch with Montana than something like that. You know, what they're saying is actually, though, if I want to give them a compliment, Aaron, they're true to form. They believe in raising taxes. They believe in bigger government. So not passing Trump's big, beautiful bill will result in a 30% tax increase for the American people, the largest tax increase in American history. If you work it out, what that means, the average Montanan, $1,700 a year for the average family in Montana, increase in taxes. So I guess they're true to form there in Missoula, where the city council wants to see higher taxes. That's exactly what we're going to get if we don't pass President Trump's big, beautiful bill.
Yeah, Missoula's already effectively, the Democrats with the county and the city have already raised taxes on their own citizens like 20%, and then you pile this on top of it. Yeah, here they go. They want to raise taxes on working families again. When it comes to the One Big Beautiful Bill, of course, that you're clearly supporting, Senator Daines, do you think Congress and the Senate, do you think you'll reach that July 4th deadline so we can get some good fireworks?
And that is the goal. I tell you, we've been in this position before during the first several months of President Trump's leadership where what looks to be almost impossible, where members of Congress are screaming about something, and then Trump weighs in and puts the hammer down, and we get these things passed. So don't underestimate the power and influence of President Trump. There's always, when you legislate, always something you can find to vote against something. But you've got to step back with the totality. This will stop the largest tax increase in American history. It also provides some tremendous pro-growth policies for businesses, like immediate expensing of capital, 100%. That will be a very pro-growth, stimulative type of effect. This allows the immediate expensing of research and development investments by businesses. That will promote more innovation to compete against the Chinese. So there's just some solid provisions here in this bill that are going to be pro-growth, because you can't get out of the fiscal mess we're in without growth. For every 1% increase GDP growth over 10 years, it's $3 trillion of additional tax revenues. You grow the economy, you grow tax revenues. And look, by every measure, Aaron, the problem in our fiscal imbalance in Washington is not a revenue problem. It is a spending problem. And this bill does reduce spending by about $1.5 trillion. Yes, that's over 10 years, but it's actual spending reductions. We should be able to do a lot more. That's the part of the bill I don't like. I'd like to see us more aggressive in the spending cuts. But at some point, you've got to step back and look at the totality. If we don't act, you're going to see a massive tax increase to the American people. That would cause a recession and be just devastating to our country's economy.
Yeah, I understand there's also some really good pro-gun rights stuff in this one big beautiful bill as well, and also a focus on ending the Green New Scam. But we should probably get to this one before we run out of time. This was huge news. You posted on X yesterday. I had to go through it. There's so much going on right now that it's hard to keep up with all of the incredible news out there right now. You described this as a huge win for Montana, thanks to the Trump administration. Ag Secretary Rollins basically just announced that they are rescinding this roadless rule. This is huge for Montana.
It is, Aaron, and this is one of the challenges you face, is getting the news out to Montanans and the American people with how fast this administration is moving in the midst of just big newsworthy events. I mean, we got the big, beautiful bill. We've got the Iranians now with their nuclear capabilities destroyed. A lot in the news cycle, but there was a major announcement yesterday that's going to directly affect Montana. That came from our Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, who, of course, the Forest Service reports through the Department of Agriculture. That's why it's in her domain. But she just rescinded a rule that will affect 58% of our national forest lands because they're restricted from any road development. And what that does is not allow us to get in there for fire prevention, for timber production. This was a roadless rule that was created 24 years ago. It's outdated. It needs to be updated. And Secretary Rollins just gave us an enabler that allows us to get in it for timber projects to help reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfires. So a nice win for Montana, bringing us back to better balance on our national forests. The federal government is a terrible steward of our public lands, particularly our national forests. They don't manage it nearly as well as the state does or private landowners. This is a step in the right direction to be better stewards of our great public lands.
Yeah, and all about access as well for, you know, disabled hunters. I remember talking with a woman in Libby who said that those are the roads she used to go up and hunt as a disabled veteran. She needed that kind of access, but it was shut down by things like the Roadless Initiative. Well, Senator Steve Daines, great to catch up with you as always. About 20 seconds to go. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to believe we're rapidly coming upon the 4th of July. This will be a celebration of our independence, our freedom. There is a lot to be thankful for, Aaron. In the midst of all the strife and turmoil in the United States and the world, let's not forget we woke up this morning in the greatest country on the planet. We woke up in the greatest state in the United States as Montanans. So lots to be thankful for. Let's blow up a lot of fireworks on the 4th and celebrate that great rebellion and our freedom on the 4th of July.
Hey, you know, the last time we caught up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch in Dillon, what a great conversation we had. You know, we not only talked about his great products, you know, his great steaks, the great beef jerky, the beef bacon, and more that Reminisce Angus Ranch provides. You can get them at certain grocery stores. You can find their jerky at some gas stations, like some of the town pump locations. You can also get it delivered to your house. But we also talked with Brian Massard about his efforts to help make America healthy again. Again, he was just at the White House. He's taken part in other roundtable discussions back in Washington, D.C., because he knows that if we want to make America healthy again, beef has got to be on the table. So anyways, great catching up with him. If you want to learn more about, you know, the creative things he's doing out at Reminisce Angus Ranch, partnering with N-Soil Algae, for example, or if you want to find out how you can get his products to your place, check out remangus.com, remangus.com.
I'm always looking for ways to show my cat how much I love her. And with Fancy Feast Gems, I can pamper her whenever I want with a savory gravy on top of a gourmet mousse pate. The pyramid shape makes serving simple, so all I have to do is peel and plate to make mealtime feel extra fancy. And with two entrees in every pack, it's easy to turn every day into the extraordinary. Fancy Feast Gems.
Fox News commentary.
Alligator Alcatraz is better than Disney World. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop and the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer? Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
Alligator Alcatraz is a beautiful complex designed to temporarily house illegal alien detainees before they are removed from our country. The facility has its very own airstrip to expedite the removal aspect of Trump's immigration approach. The facility is quite nice, probably too nice for its inhabitants, honestly. It has a max capacity of 3,000 detainees and 1,000 staffers, over 200 cameras, 400-plus security personnel, as well as legal advisors and medical personnel. Other available resources include legal services, clergy, laundry, air conditioning, and even a rec yard. Those on the left likening it to a concentration camp, well, they just hate the idea of detaining anyone. Alligator Alcatraz is an inspired idea, and I love it. But I do feel badly for the alligators, though. They have to share space with criminal illegal alien invaders, and that's just not fair. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Some sunshine early on today, then some scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high nearing 87. Scattered showers early tonight, then partly cloudy with a low around 58. Showers and thunderstorms are likely into Saturday. Some storms may be severe with our high nearing 82. Then showers and thunderstorms continue into Saturday night with a low around 55. Sunshine with a high of 84 into Sunday, then clear skies Sunday night with a low around 58. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Kara Foster.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Congressman Chafe, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for being back with us.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I see you've got a new book out here when I finally looked at the notes to see what maybe we could talk with you about. You've got a new book out here. They're coming for you. Sounds like to me this is describing the deep state, the stay-behind teams that Sleepy Joe and Crazy Kamala put in place.
Yeah, if you think they're just going to accept Donald Trump oh no, they're in the MAGA movement. Oh no, absolutely, they're going to come for you. They're going to use data to do it. They're using it to affect elections. The amount of spying and data that they can gather on you from the government. The government, by the way, is selling and buying so much of this data. But think about how much the government knows about you, and then they go out and sell that data. It really is creepy, and it scares you, and it's a scary book because it details, like I said, how it affects healthcare, how it affects your ability to participate in the economy, how you do banking, essentially they're creating a social credit score for you. So if you're not one of the chosen woke ones, look out. They're gonna make life very difficult for you.
Then the follow-up question I have is, so which agencies and which regulations are they using to do this? People back here in Montana, just like our friends down in Utah, we were familiar with the deep state long before Donald Trump first started talking about the deep state,
because we've
seen these radical environmentalists embed themselves inside of our land management agencies and then undermine agriculture, undermine oil, gas, coal, our timber industry, and more. So we're very familiar with the stay-behind element here.
Yeah, it's very real. Look, they get used so many departments and agencies. Look, under Biden, they really wanted to weaponize the
the IRS. Remember, they asked for a five-time increase, over $100 billion more dollars. And they were going to use, I think, that as a tool. They leveraged the federal government, all the departments and agencies, to try to get out the vote and target Democratic blocs. They had a thing called Vote ER, where they enlisted doctors, where they had 50,000 doctors in 700 hospitals going to patients, figuring out their voter registration. A week into the Biden administration, they contracted with a group called Clearview AI. I'm not saying they did anything illegally, but Clearview AI had tens of billions of photos. And what they're doing is building a database of facial recognition that they can then attach to you. There's more than 500,000 cameras across the country that are out there in the public taking pictures of you and video of you. And what do they do with that information? Well, it ends up that they do some pretty nefarious things, and they get caught. Like in the state of Florida, and I don't think they do this anymore, but when you would go to get your driver's license, you would put in, you know, your name, your address, your height, your weight, your hair color, your eye color, whether or not you wear glasses. And they were selling that data.
Hey, this week for our Visit Montana tourism package giveaway, your chance to win a great tourism package in Southeast Montana. Yeah, each week we're highlighting a different tourism region. And this week we are highlighting Southeast Montana. Man, so much to see in Southeast Montana. Let's just share some stuff that you might not be as familiar with. Did you know you could stop by the original Fallon County Jail, home of Steer Montana, the world's largest steer? He was born in March 1923 and grew to be 3,980 pounds, 5 foot 11 inches tall and 10 foot 4 inches long, with a girth of 9 foot 2 inches. So you can go see him at near the Fallon County Jail there. Anyway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. You got a great tourism package that you get the chance to win. All the latest Montana news and commentary. You know, Facebook and big tech don't want you to see it. So get it straight from the Montana Talks app. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and...